Today is the second Sunday of Advent. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. This evening we will have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 o'clock. Next Sunday, December 17th, is Gaudete Sunday. The Mass is at 8 a.m., followed by the annual bake sale, sponsored by Servants of the Holy Family. Please bring your favorite baked items to the hall and be sure to price them. I know we've talked in the past about trying to bring something that would be very appetizing for others to try. Today is the feast of St. Melchiades, a famous pope just before the freedom of the church in the 4th century. Tomorrow is the feast of St. Damasus, another great pope. Thursday is the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, or Tuesday is the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Wednesday is the feast of St. Lucy, and Saturday is the feast of St. Eusebius. These are all 4th century saints coming at the end of the persecutions, and at the beginning of the time of the Christian state. And even though that's the case, they still had to do battle. St. Eusebius was after Constantine had legalized Christianity, but he still had to fight against the Arian heretics, and he was an ally of St. Damasus, who's the pope for tomorrow. So we have the blessing of articles, we have benediction today at 6 o'clock, and next week we have the bake sale, so please bring your baked items and price them. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans. Brethren, whatever things have been written for our instruction, that through the patience and the consolation afforded by the Scriptures, we may have hope. May then the God of patience and of comfort grant you to be of one mind towards one another, according to Jesus Christ, that one in spirit we may with one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive one another, even as Christ has received you, to the honor of God. For I say that Christ Jesus has been a minister of the circumcision in order to show God's fidelity in confirming the promises made to our fathers, but that the Gentiles glorify God because of his mercy, as it is written, therefore will I praise thee among the Gentiles, and will sing to thy name. And again he says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing his praises, all you peoples. And again Isaiah says, there shall be the root of Jesse, and he who shall arise to rule the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 to 10. At that time, when John had heard in prison of the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples to say to him, art thou he who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answering said to them, go and report to John what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead rise, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not scandalized in me. Then as they went away, Jesus began to say to the crowds concerning John, What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Behold, those who wear soft garments are in the houses of kings. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall make ready thy way before thee. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We are now well on our way into this first season of the liturgical year, that is Advent. We know already that it is a season of penance, that is the virtue, I'm talking about the virtue right now, the virtue of penance, that is hatred for sin. We are preparing for the coming of our Lord at Christmas. We want to banish all sin from our lives. So during this time, we can be making examination of conscience. We can be going to confession during this time. We can be making acts of penance in our lives. It's a mini Lent. And of course, as you heard last week, it's a shortened season, so we have to concentrate. And in this Mass, the stational church for this Mass is called the Church of the Holy Cross in Jerusalem. We're hoping everyone's thinking of everything about that church. It is not located in Jerusalem. It is located in the city of Rome. But it's called Holy Church in Holy Cross in Jerusalem because the emperor's mother, St. Helen, transported all the dirt from Mount Calvary to Rome and built this basilica to house the relics of the true cross. So there, I told us. That is the earthly image of the heavenly Jerusalem. And we hear all about this in Lent. But here is given to us today in Advent. Because the Mass text, the very first words of the Mass, Populus Sion, people of Zion, people of Jerusalem, that's the synonym, people of the heavenly city, you. And in other texts of the Mass, you'll see the same thing, addressing of us. And then we have St. Paul, who is our own apostle. He is the apostle to the Gentiles. Oh, yes, we are the Gentiles. We are the non-Jews. And here is this Jewish Pharisee knocked off his horse. And now he is the apostle, not to the Jews, but to the Gentiles, those who he despised. That's what the Pharisees, you have to understand, St. Paul is the one who despised the Gentiles. He is now their apostle. We don't think about that. And here he is writing this letter to the Romans. What are Romans? They are pagan Gentiles. And he is reassuring them that, yes, the Son of God is coming first to the Jews because they were the chosen people. They are no longer the chosen people. You are the chosen people. But St. Paul is saying our Lord is coming to the Jews first as they were the chosen people. And this is to prove God's fidelity. He promised that he would send a redeemer. And he told them all about all the things to look for. He would be of the tribe of Judah, and behold, a virgin would conceive and bear a son, as Isaiah tells us in a different citation, not in today's Mass, but we heard about this on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. And so St. Paul's telling these Romans, these pagans, these Gentiles, first, he's telling them, the Jews are the ones our Lord came to first. And this proved his faithfulness to his promise, that he would save them, and he still will save them. Their saving is not complete. That will come at the end of time. We know that. The Jews will be converted in the end, and they will be the greatest saints. We've seen indications of it. St. Paul is the first great example. But then he goes on to tell them, to tell us, he keeps repeating the word Gentiles as he's taking all of these quotes from the Old Testament. He's taking them all from Isaiah, this great prophet. And he keeps telling these Gentiles, he is coming for you, not to prove his faithfulness, but to prove his mercy. You were not his people, but now you are, out of mercy. And so he says, take hope. And we need hope. The Immaculate Conception, that feast, that great talk about the brightness of the feast in this time of darkness. Did the dark, that's the propaganda term for it, the dark ages. Oh, I'm saying that just for those that don't know, do some research. They were not dark. The advances in theology, philosophy, works of charity, in science. We can go down the whole list. Culture, civilization, all of those things that happened during the Middle Ages, those are all hidden from you. So if you've never heard this in any of your school education, that is how much they have stolen from you, just to let you know. But if you want to just call it dark ages, you know, today is way worse. And we won't go into that. You know better than we do. But this is a mass to tell us not to worry about that. Be aware of it. But know that God has come, and he is coming in mercy. But we have to ask for it. That's why we're in a season of penance. And as we have... Now, the opening of this, you probably could tell I was reading this very slowly, because I'm hearing all of the things that the Holy Ghost inspired St. Paul to communicate to the Romans and to all of us down the ages, 2,000 years. And he's telling us right at the beginning all about the things that have been written for our consolation, that we may have hope. And we, of course, are thinking of tomorrow's saint. We're thinking of St. Damasus, who is the pope that commissioned St. Jerome to translate the Bible into Latin for the entire church. That is the official translation that we have in the church. So we have a saint, a pope, St. Damasus, commissioning a saint to do the research on the scriptures and give us a translation, which we have had as the prized translation in the church since that time. But that's St. Damasus, tomorrow's feast, a day to celebrate him for more reason this year. But we return to this point because the punchline of this Holy Mother of the Church today in the liturgy telling us, reminding us that we are the chosen people. We, the Gentiles, we have been gathered in the church in Rome that is the image of the heavenly Jerusalem. So we're all together. Why? And St. Paul is telling us so that we have one mind. When it comes to the faith, we have one mind. We heard all of this, all about polls on the Immaculate Conception, about what do Catholics believe. There is no We have, St. Paul tells us, is one mind. You heard it. We speak with one voice. And that's literally what happens here at the Mass. That is the whole, in a nutshell, the description, the definition of the sacred liturgy. We pray with one voice. And whose voice is it? You know it's Christ's. It's not the priest's voice. Because the priest is speaking in the person of Christ. And it becomes literally that at the consecration. Because the priest does not say, "This is the body of Christ." He says, "This is my body." So it's not the body of the celebrant of the Mass. It's the body of Christ. Because the priest is speaking through holy orders in the person of Christ. So when St. Paul tells us we speak with one voice, we're speaking with the voice of Christ. At this Mass, that's what we're doing. So all of us are joined in the one voice. He's using his human instrument, just as he used the human instrument to write the sacred scriptures. You see the power of the Mass. This is all contained in this Mass. But the punchline is still that of hope. Now, before you go on, we just have to say some things here. Because the message is one of hope, as always is the case. And we hear St. Paul talking about it, it keeps being repeated. But we do have to say a couple of things here just to make sure we go away with some education on the Mass. We can list all the terrible things, but we've said, the things against the attack, our health, our own financial circumstances, our own emotional, psychological, our own well-being, the state of persecution that we all experience in one way or another. These are all dark things. And we just make that reference to them. But they're not to get us down. If they are getting us down, then the devil is succeeding in breaking our link to our Lord. See, these things are meant to discourage us. As soon as you recognize that, that's God inspiring your guardian angel. Don't fall victim to that discouragement. Turn that around and it becomes a jumping off point to prayer. Heard about that last week, so just to remind you, never get down. But just to make sure we understand a couple of things, because right here it's right in front of us. There are three great personages during Advent. The Blessed Virgin Mary, of course, is the first. She is the Mother of God. But then today, we have the other two great ones. St. John the Baptist, and that's why I have to say something about that from the Gospel. And then Isaias the prophet. This is almost a Mass of Isaias because St. Paul is just quoting every one of his lines. And then our Lord himself refers to him when he tells these people, and that's the story there. St. John is awaiting his own execution. And the gospel account seems to indicate that St. John the Baptist is not sure if Christ is the true Redeemer. So he sends two of his disciples to go and ask him. That's what it sounds like. Now, that would be absurd. If the precursor of Christ, who said to his own disciples, St. John the Baptist said to his own disciples, namely, we know the names, St. Andrew and St. John, the evangelist, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." So he is the one that pointed out our Lord at the beginning of his public ministry, and he is the one that baptized him. So how is it like just a couple of months later, he's not sure if he's the one? That doesn't make any sense. But we know what was going on. And our Lord reinforces that after these messengers leave. Because then he goes on to praise St. John the Baptist. He would not be praising somebody who didn't know who he was. It doesn't make any sense. That's what we get some modern scripture scholars telling us. But no, he was trying to gradually lead his disciples away. Because he said from the beginning, St. John said, "I must decrease and he must increase." And some of his followers didn't want him to decrease. They loved St. John. He was a lovable person. But he had to start telling them, no, you must go to him and go and ask this. And then our Lord says to them, quoting Isaiah, saying, Isaiah prophesied, all these horrible things are going to be in the world. We know why. Original sin. And he starts listing. These people are blind and lame. And he says, I'm curing all of them. And then he goes on to tell us about St. John. He is more than a prophet. He is an angel. He is my messenger. He is in the flesh, but he lives the angelic life. He lives as if he doesn't have a body. That's what our Lord's talking about, this man. That's how great he is. No man greater than he. Our Lord said that in another place. Unbelievable praise. And all the things we can say about that, but why bring it back to this? Because our Lord is echoing the hope of this Mass. We, of course, have a feast this week of Our Lady of Guadalupe. We cannot go through the story of her miraculous appearance to Juan Diego, her curing of his sick unto death uncle, and then her leaving of a permanent miracle for us to all see in this new world. You didn't have a United States then. So this whole world that had been discovered and that came, that the people who walked away, it's a similar story, the chosen people in Europe who abandoned the faith were replaced by this new chosen people here in the new world. So as many as those Protestants who left, that's as many as the Blessed Mother converted of these pagans. It's a wonderful story, marked by curing people. We can't tell all the miracles. It was almost like the people couldn't resist. The miracles were all happening right in front of them, and right in front of this tilma, this great miracle that is still on display there now. But we say this as we talk about this last thing about the hope, because these are the words of, this is a great holy card that Father designed. And on the back, he had these words that Our Lady spoke to Juan Diego. Because are they not words of hope? Listen, my son, to what I tell you now. Do not be troubled nor disturbed by anything. Do not fear illness nor any other distressing occurrence nor pain. Am I not your mother? Am I not life and health? Have I not placed you on my lap and made you my responsibility? Do you need anything else? So Our Lady is the great healer, the great source of hope. And we want to just end with this one story, which the sisters told us years ago, or gave us this article, because it's the reason why we always, not this, but it is a corroborative story about this part about hope. We've talked about the great preacher, Father Mateo, how he would never refuse to go to the deathbed of anyone, no matter how evil the person was, how much they protested they didn't want to see any priest at the moment they were dying. He would only ask that one question, if you recall. He would just ask the people, is anyone praying for this person? And if they said yes, he would always go. And he always had these deathbed conversions. Well, here's another story like that, because of the fact that sometimes, don't get discouraged by the darkness outside. And this is a story about a Carmelite priest in the 1800s who was a convert from Judaism. His name was Father Herman. And of course, when he became, and he was, well, He was a famous violinist. So he gave that all up, became a Catholic, then he became a priest and a Carmelite. And he was working so hard for the conversion of his family. Eventually he got I think his father must have died already because he's not in the story. But he eventually got his sister to convert. You know, what held her up? Well, I thought my son would be mad at me if I became Catholic. But eventually she became Catholic. But his mother died, never converting. And this caused him great grief. And two of the ladies that knew him several years later, about 5 or 6 years later, they were on a pilgrimage to Ars, which had a priest there named Father Vianney. And we, of course, know him as St. John Vianney. And so these two ladies came up to the saint. Maybe he called them off the line. You know, he would do that, St. John Vianney. Maybe he just saw them and said, come, I need to talk to you. In any case, we don't know the detail there, but they said to him, we don't understand. St. Father Herman had everyone praying, and he was praying and doing all his penance and everything, and his mother died. And St. John Vianney said to them, please go back and tell Father Herman. Now, I don't remember if St. John Vianney had this message in a dream or he just had an actual communication directly from God. I don't know that case, but the message was this. Please go back to Father Herman and tell him that I know, and he said for whatever reason, you know, how it was by a dream or by a direct message. He said, I know that when his mother was in that coma for those days before she died, she was offered the grace of conversion and she accepted it. We know that, of course, as baptism of desire. And so the story ends there, but you can imagine how quickly those ladies returned to Father Herman and gave him the news and how happy he was to receive it. It's a great story, but you know what? That is the story we have to walk away with at a mass like this today, talking about hope. Because hope springs eternal for a Catholic, the true Christian. Because no matter how dark it is, we know that God can save, and God does save at any time that he pleases. And so we know in our own personal lives, we just have to remain faithful. We have to be faithful to our prayers. And in the big picture, we know the same thing. Just as he's going to come at Christmas time, he comes now as the ill infant. In the end, he will come glorious and in great terror for those who will not accept him. We know all that. This is the season to take hope that our lives, despite all of the things that are going on right now, despite the fact that our Lord was born in a little stable and the government officials were sent to try and kill him, that's how dark it was at the time our Lord was born. We know that the light of the world has come, and he has come to take us back to heaven. So at this Mass, we must have great hope and pray with one voice, the voice of our Lord, to take us, prepare us for your coming, that we may go with you to heaven. May God bless you.